Okay, today is Friday, October 21st, and we're beginning in Proverbs chapter 7. Thank you for your patience there. Okay, Proverbs chapter 7, we can see that Solomon is instructing his family here, his sons, and he says, "My son," which he's talking to Rehoboam here, he said, "Keep my words and lay up my commandments with you." Okay, we talk about commandments, we're talking about an ordered activity to perform a certain task. An activity to perform a certain task. Okay, so he's to keep my commandments and live. Now he's talking about the position of his stewardship. Okay, the position of his stewardship, he was issuing forth these particular ordered things. Okay, this activity, this sort of activity. And my law is the apple of your eye. Talk about the law, we're talking about certain restrictions. Just like the mandrakes that Reuben found, okay, which Rachel and Leah made a deal over for the purpose of propagation. And he says, this law here, these restrictions and these commandments are profitable for us for the purpose of mating with God to increase his house. So the commandments which we have received, this ordered activity to perform this particular task here, is for the increase of the house of God. And that's why he says, and live. The anointing works with this knowledge. So keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of your eye. This is a place of your refuge. And we admire the tokens that give life. Now bind them upon your fingers, which means when he says the word bind, it says this is as a form of a seal. Okay, bind them to lash them as you're lashing yourself to the altar. Okay, we are being joined to Christ or lashing yourself to Christ. So bind them upon your fingers, which these are things which we handle. These are things which we touch. Okay, and memorize them. Write them upon the table of your heart. Okay, so what we're doing is we're putting his word, Psalm is saying here, put this word in your lips. And when you put this knowledge into your lips, you beautify this. You beautify the things of God. And that's what the anointing does. The anointing beautifies the house of God. It beautifies the face of our Lord. So say to wisdom, which is giving us direction here, say to wisdom, you are my sister, even as Rachel and Leah, and call understanding your kinswoman. This is to build the family of the Spirit. Okay, just like, again, Rachel hired Jacob for Reuben's mandrakes. And my law is the apple of your eye. So they shall keep you, that they may keep you from the strange woman, which has to do with the knowledge of the house of Bel. The knowledge of the house of Bel is a substitute. The strange woman would be a substitute. So that they may keep you from the strange woman and from the flattery, or from the stranger, which flatters with her words, which has to do with the preaching of the moral code. The preaching of the moral code is to impersonate the knowledge of God. And that's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Satan was impersonating the knowledge of God. He was taking the knowledge of God into himself and substituting the knowledge of God for his own knowledge for the purpose of deception and false pretense. That they may keep you. This is a form of guarding. The knowledge of God is your shield and is your place of refuge from that which is the house of Baal, which is a false religious system, and Satan's ministers of unrighteousness. Then it may keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with his words. So I hide the word flatter there. Flatter, which means preaching that which is the moral code, which flatters with her words. Okay, now having said some of these things here in Proverbs, why don't we jump over now to Timothy. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're just warming up. We'll take a few minutes there. And we'll read through this. Now notice the same language here. You therefore, my son. Almost sounds like Proverbs, doesn't it? We can see the Apostle Paul is instructing those under his immediate stewardship that this knowledge here, which is written, was not for those which are outside of the covenant, but for those which are inside the covenant. Just like the revelations which Moses received for Aaron and the house of God was not for the purpose of the house of Baal. It was not written for Baal, it was written for things concerning God. And we see today that those which are in a strange house, which flatters with their words, are the house of Baal. They substitute the knowledge of God for their own. So here we can see, you therefore, my son, those which are offspring of the Spirit. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We have to embrace this power. This is our wisdom. This is our understanding. This is the mandrake. This is the mandrake for our mating, to be joined to Christ, is to be joined to our husband. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. So we're embracing this power in order to behold him, to see him, and to embrace him. And highlight the word in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, which shows this is the duty of your priesthood. This is the divine temple of light, and not that which is of animal skins, and not that which is of darkness, not that which is of ignorance. Our priesthood is in Christ Jesus, that which is living, not to the dead, which is the temple of skin, okay, or the construction of stone. So the things that you have heard, is it the things that you have heard which has to do with this knowledge and the blessedness of this knowledge, the blessedness which accompanies those of faith. The blessedness which accompanies those of faith has to do with the knowledge that glorifies him. Because this knowledge glorifies him. This knowledge produces the substance. The knowledge of the anointing produces substance within the heart. And the knowledge of Christ does not leave the soul desolate of his life. But the abomination that makes desolate is a substitution which the Antichrist, the beast, will pretend and role play the Messiah. He will role play the Messiah, but absent of the life of God. That he's substituting himself. He's substituting that knowledge. Okay, he's blaspheming the temple. He's blaspheming God. He's blaspheming those which are in heaven by profaning the things of God. So the things that you have heard of me, which has to do with this knowledge and this blessedness, which has to do with the revelations which ye have received, and we're carrying on this tradition of the Spirit, the things that you have heard of me, that is of my stewardship and the assemblies here, but you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men. So might I highlight the word faithful? Okay, those which are consistent with the terms of the covenant. Those which are consistent with it in the terms of the covenant will be those which will prosper in the knowledge of God. Prospering in the knowledge of God shows how God engages with you, how he visits you. He visits you with signs and with wonders. He visits you with experiences, with the gifts of his propitiation. The gifts of his propitiation seal this adoption. As a seal of adoption, is calling us sons and daughters of God. We are the sons of God. So the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, and the same commit you to faithful men, the consistency, who shall be able to teach others also, and as to carry this tradition of grace, and not that of death. We're carrying the tradition of grace, that which is of the living, and not that which is of the dead, the tabernacle of skin, which has to do with the slaughter of animals. Death was in all those tokens. Death was in those tokens, as also was in the construction of Solomon's temple. The dead. See, death was concealed in those things, which were unprofitable for the purging of the conscience. But Jesus rose from the dead and provided us life. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I like the word endure there, which is because as the seasons change, we continue to press forward. Just like a soldier. That's why he uses a soldier as an example concerning the endurance of change. So you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, facing the adversity of changes of the weather and the uncertainty, continues to strive for the victory at hand. So even though there's uncertainty because of contradiction and change in this dimension of change, we serve the unchangeable one. And we were made in his image and likeness. Being made in his image of likeness, we were put in vessels that would go through forces of change. The forces of change, which has to do with this dimension of time, the presence of death, and Satan's presence also in false knowledge. And because of these things, we endure the oppressions of change by peace and rest of Jesus Christ, by the tokens he provided for us for our peace. And those things which he provided for our faith, for our rest. We labor to enter into that rest. So you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That means the soldier, being single-minded, does not intrude into political affairs or social issues in order for us to remain neutral. And we remain neutral because we are only strangers and pilgrims, just like a tourist visiting another nation. They do not involve themselves with their political issues or affairs. the tourist remains neutral in order to enjoy the culture, the place where they're visiting there, to enjoy the location, okay, or the place of, like a place of paradise. A lot of people take vacations to the Caribbean. It's for the purpose of the pleasure, not the challenge. So what we're doing is that we are enduring, being separate from the issues we're enduring. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, and as meet the expectations of his master, that we may please him who has chosen to be a soldier, that called him out to serve in this honor, that has chosen to be a soldier. And Jesus has sealed us with the Spirit, the token of light and life, that he has now chosen you for the purpose of his service, not to be entangled or ensnared with the things of this world. Now, if a man also strive for masteries, which has to do with, just like an athlete, if a man or an athlete, they train hard for the purpose of being qualified. So man also strives for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. That's by the rules of engagement. And we're following the rules of engagement. So here the Apostle Paul is giving another example here of that of an athlete and that of a farmer. The husbandman or the farmer that labors. Those that plow the field, they're laboring for the purpose of the expectation of reaping a harvest. But before you can plow the field, you have to first receive a gift. He received the gift, he received the seed. The seed is a gift which we receive from God for the purpose of this planting and also the endurance of our patience for the expectation of the harvest and reward. So the husband that labors and that plows must first be partaker of the fruits, first the seed and the harvest. So we receive the tokens of propitiation, the propitiation of his gifts by his record. This is what we're laboring with. This is what we're being single-minded with. Now consider what I say, Paul said. See the parable God put in this labor. So consider what I say, and what does he say? And the anointing will unfold more for you as you think on these things. Just like the song that we put up there last week. Okay, the song which we put up, which had to do with that love song by John Paul. Okay, the singer. Okay, the purpose of the song is that there are certain parables that were concealed within that. The whispering of the trees, okay, which means what the symbolism or the parable which God put within the tree speaks to us. The symbolism, the parable that God sealed within that tree speaks to us of our own inheritance. This is the true love of God. The anointing will give you understanding, and the anointing will unfold more. So he says, it'll give you understanding in all things. That is all things, the parables which God put in all creation to preach this to us, to the subconscious. You need to preach to the subconscious of Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. So I use the word seed of David as the farmer. Hey, remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. This was the seed or the plant. Hey, the holy plant. The seed that was planted brought forth this tree or this vine. That's what Jesus said, I'm the vine, the true vine, and you are the branches. The tether of his kingdom is rooted in all these prophecies given to David, which transferred to his glorious resurrection to seal this word in you. So remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That which was planted and that which is harvested. So he was raised from the dead, that which is the seed sown. And Jesus made references to himself. Except a grain of seed died, it remains by itself. So Jesus was talking about his death and resurrection as that seed to bring forth a tree. And we are that tree which is going to bring forth, it's going to bear forth fruit in many dimensions in the baptism of light. Wherein I suffer trouble, Paul said here, because this revelation is different than that which is of substitution. Substitution speaks of the record of man. Propitiation speaks of the record of God, which is Jesus Christ. Now, because we preach the record of Christ being his propitiation, okay, we suffer a contradiction from those which are in substitution, those which worship idols. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. In other words, the false religious system views those of faith as being criminals of injustice. So he goes in here, goes on, where I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds. The word of God is not bound. The fullness of his equity cannot be stopped. This is the seed which has been planted within us, which we water every day by that anointing. Therefore I endure all things as a soldier. And Paul says, I'm a steward. And a steward, he gauges the pattern. Okay, this pattern as your scale. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, I endure, which means being as this gauge, the stewardship is this gauge, all things, these tokens which are provided for the elect's sake, which means this is your scale, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So I like the word Christ Jesus again, because Paul's talking about here the priesthood of the second covenant. So I endure all things. We endure the contradiction through the propitiation, the gifts which he's provided for us, which scale is provided for the church, so that they have now eyes to discern between that which is good and that which is evil, having their senses exercised. Your senses are only going to be exercised as you participate within this priesthood, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, and the fruit that honors him now and forever. It is a faithful saying, he says in verse 11. Make sure you make notes on these things. It is a faithful saying. This word is prophesied always. The knowledge which we have received is what we prophesy. We prophesy in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. That which is the harvest of the field is what we also put on our plate and we partake of and we eat. We ingest. Just like that which is the tithing of the priests. Yea, the harvest of the field. A portion of the harvest of the field was brought to the priesthood, which was made showbread, which means to be openly displayed. The showbread was openly displayed. And this knowledge is being openly displayed through the lips of charity in the assembly. So it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, this is what we confess. If we be dead with him, following this record, removing the boast of our own letter, which is the record of man, the signature of man. If we be crucified with Christ, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. This is our harvest, from the seed to the harvest. If we be dead with him, we shall also reign with him or live with him. That means we're now partaking of his total fullness. If we suffer, which in other words, if we deny the voice to the aspirations to rule in us, then we shall also reign with him with this hope. For if we suffer, verse 12, we suffer, we also shall reign with him. If we die, crucified with Christ, putting to death the aspiration by the priesthood of Jesus Christ, then we know also that the glory of God will be formed within us and allow us entrance into his throne. So if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, that means if we accept the knowledge of this world, which is false knowledge and substitution for the true knowledge of God, then we leave the soul desolate and we murder. Okay, the soul that is desolate of this knowledge dies, okay, which means it's murder. This is what the Apostle John also brings out in his epistle, that we are not as Cain who murdered his brother Abel. Now remember, Cain and Abel, they both offered sacrifices to God, but one was of faith and the other one was of substitution. Okay, because when Cain offered a sacrifice, it was for the purpose of gaining his own aspirations, substitution. But when Abel offered his sacrifice, which is propitiation, it was for the purpose of pleasing God and walking by faith. So we see the two kingdoms, substitution, propitiation. We see darkness and we see light. We see Satan's counsel, we see God's counsel. We see one that's desolate, because as Cain did not receive a confirmation, but Abel received the confirmation as an angel appeared to him, and God received a sacrifice. So if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us, which is the fruit, the benefits of this covenant. If we believe not, which is this living witness of the anointing, yet he abides faithful. God will not change his plan for the purpose of our satisfaction. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, because God is consistent in his plan. Remember, this plan was sealed in his bosom before the world was created. God sealed us, and he swore by himself that this plan will not change, that he will remain consistent, that God will not lean to his compassion nor change this plan. By leaning to his compassion. Okay, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself, because Christ's soul isn't desolate. Christ's soul isn't desolate. He cannot deny himself. That's to reward those that consent to this grace. Okay, of these things, like all these spiritual blessings, which is the blessedness, which is a sign of Abraham, we're children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what was the sign of Abraham? The blessedness. God's form of communication. Jesus visited him. God took him to the seventh heaven. God gave him many benefits, spiritually and physically, both which is of the sand and which of the stars. This is the same thing which God has also made promise to us. We are children by faith in Jesus Christ. We are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. So we receive the same benefits of the blessedness here and there, in the flesh and of the spirit, the sand and of the stars, from now and forever. So all these things, put them in remembrance. Okay, all these spiritual blessings, put the saints there in remembrance and reflection. So how do you do the word remembrance? Put the word reflection over that. All these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. It means charging them before the Lord, which means giving forth a confirmation, as Moses also charged Israel and gave confirmation through Joshua. Okay, so here, Paul is telling Timothy, follow the same pattern, the stewardship and the priesthood. Follow that same divine pattern. So of these things and all these spiritual blessings of the second covenant now, put the saints now in remembrance for this reflection, charging them before the Lord, the activity of the temple, that they strive not about words and old prophet. Strive not about words and old prophet, which means that has to do with substitution and syntax. Substitution and syntax. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, we walk by faith, which means by the invisible things, not by sight, which is the physical things. By sight, the physical things has to do with the tokens of that first covenant, the tabernacle of skin and the temple of stone, the physical altar compared to that of the spiritual altar. Okay, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That which is the bath there, we got the altar of fire and the bath of water, which has to do with that which is the flesh, that which is the spirit, that which is and the cleansings and the washings which we go through. We pass through the water and we pass through the fire. Through your cycles of growth, that which we accept the circumcision of loss for the purpose of gain, for the multiplication through mating with him, and the multiplication through mating. And through the mating, Isaac was born. The blessedness, the promise, now came forth. So of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that you strive not about words of no profit. See the word no profit? The aimless study of the syntax, the knowledge that the anointing doesn't work with, would not benefit, increase the soul, nor enlarge the heart. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, ye strive not about words of no profit. See the word strive right there. Now, there's a good strive and a bad strive. And a good strive has to do with that which is pressing forth and embracing grace. Bad strive is the resisting, okay, the resisting, the immobilization because of lack of grace. Okay, that's the negative. That ye strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Bring into obedience of faith those which you're teaching. Study. So I like the word study there. Okay, and that's what we brought that out earlier. The things which you have heard, teach. Study. The love of God with all your mind. Here, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's interesting. Okay, if our redemption was through substitutionism, why must we study now to show ourselves approved unto God if this has already been sealed? Okay, and removed. If it's already been sealed and removed for the purpose of our eternal inheritance, what further need do we have to study? That means it's been a done deal. Well, it is a done deal only in the sight of God in a propitiation. But on our part, we still have to show forth our love and obedience. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. So I like the word workman as the athlete and as the farmer, a laborer. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, and a laborer of truth that builds. So we're building a faith, and we're by building a faith, we're also showing forth his kingdom, the kingdom of God and the good soil, being fruitful, as Jesus brought out in that parable about the sower that went forth to sow, and some fell upon the wayside, and other was sown in the good soil. We are the good soil plants, which has to do with we are the fruitful ones. Because every plant which my Father has not planted shall be plucked up. But every plant which my Father has planted shall be nurtured and grown and pruned. You remember, God prunes us. It's through the pruning process that we begin to understand the presence of death and also the source of our life. Because as you're dying with him, you're living with him. So we see grace and suffering put together. Grace and suffering were united together for the purpose of showing us this contrast of light and darkness. When the children of Israel came in the land of Canaan, they had opposition and benefits. They warred against the opposition for the benefit of the inheritance, and that's what we're doing. Okay, we're warring against all ungodliness, okay, for the purpose of bringing forth that which is of his kingdom, the fruit of his kingdom. We're warring against ungodliness with truth. Okay, we're warring against that kingdom. So study to show yourself approved and a godly workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're removing the chaff from the wheat, and we're also observing the covenant and season which we're in. If you don't observe the season of change, then you're not going to understand the terms of the covenant. But when you understand the seasons of change from the sixth week to the second eighth week, you can understand the value of the covenant. The restoration has to do with that God is building his house by covenant in this season of the second eighth week. And the Apostle Paul talks about that at the times and the seasons. You have no need to write unto you. You know perfectly well in regarding these things. The changing of the seasons. The apostles talk about the changing of the season from the first eighth week to the sixth week. The angel that visited Hermas informed Hermas, which is an apostle, regarding the changing season which was soon coming after the deaths of the first century apostles. The generation that will be following that will be entering into the time of the sixth week, which would be a time of great darkness. These are the 2 days which also Jesus spoke to Peter about. The 2 days, which is the 2,000 years of the sixth week, which would be a time of darkness until the second eighth week, which is the Enochian week. And then he goes on here, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is putting it as proper covenant, the proper season for the proper fruit. But shun profane and vain babblings. Shun, which means to avoid being trapped in addressing the social issues and the precept that inflames only the passions and also people use to gossip with. Spreading this evil disease of leprosy, false knowledge. Leprosy of false knowledge. Making their charity unclean. Okay, when the knowledge is unclean, so is the charity. The charity is unclean. But shun profane and vain babblings for the increase in the more ungodliness. I like the word ungodliness there, which has to do with that, the unfruitful works. Unfruitful works. And also confounding the soul and going deeper in derision. Their word will eat as doth a canker, which is false knowledge. Their word, such things will only affect the mouths with the wounds of tail-bearing. Okay, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were elders, who murmured a gospel that was powerless. Hymenaeus and Philetus fell into the snares of substitution, who concerning the truth have erred, as Paul brings out in verse 18, saying the resurrection is past already. The resurrection is past, which means the spiritual tokens are no longer to be observed for today. As Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching, that you also need to observe the Sabbath day, circumcision, water baptism, and communion, physical communion. So by observing the things of substitution, saying the resurrection is past already, and by saying such, they tread upon the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus is unholy to them, and overthrow the faith of some, sowing worthless seed with vain issues on the shallow ground. Seed that fell by the wayside. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. The knowledge which we have granted to you, that which we have laid in your heart, is sure. The foundation of God is sure. This is the fire of charity which seals your faith, having the seal. So what God is building on includes the stewardship for you. That's what he's telling Timothy. It includes the stewardship for you. This is your foundation, even as the 12 apostles there in the foundation of the holy city, which abides forever. This is our reflection. Our faith in this dimension is to reflect that of the holy city. And in the holy city, we have the 12 foundations, the apostles, which shows the spiritual stewardship and the fruit that comes forth from that, which has to do with the fruit of the tree of life, which bears forth 12 manner of fruit, okay, which also has to do with that, which is the healing of the signature, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. The Lord knows them that are his, those who truly bear his image, and that everyone that names the name of Christ, which means claims the service and the ownership of that kingdom, depart from iniquity, which is leave off the tools of Satan's ownership, the shadow of Satan. Remember, if the justification of sin confirms the guilt of Satan. But in a great house, which has to do with one soul, in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver. I'm going to get to this point right here before we go to Galatians. In a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, which has to do with the tokens and trophies of Christ, which is the Spirit, and that which is of the wood and the earth. The wood and earth, which means the memory of the scars of the flesh, which has to do with the scars of Satan. The scars of the flesh are the scars of Satan. Okay, those things which are inscribed within your heart before you came into covenant with God. So he calls them wood and earth. Okay, that which is the earth which Adam was taken from, and the wood which has to do with the frame which the gold covers. Remember the gold covering the wood, which has to do with grace and suffering. We suffer the loss to gain the profit, which has to do with fruit in the kingdom of God. some to honor and some to dishonor that which we are overcoming. We're overcoming, just like in a father's bosom. In a father's bosom, we had both consenters and protesters. That was in a father's bosom. In the father's bosom, okay, we also see the gold of the consenters and the wood as the protesters. Okay, the gold and the wood, the earth and the silver, the gold and silver and the wood and the earth. Okay, we see the two things in the father's bosom, those which consented, which are the righteous, and those which were protested, which are the unrighteous. Okay, we see a purging was brought forth because of this. Okay, that God put a parable in that, okay, within this dimension. Now, if a man therefore purge himself from these, as God also purged himself of the ungodly, which has to do with removing the ignorance in the soul. If a man therefore purge himself from these in the carnal pursuits, he should be a vessel of honor, the consenter that bears his name. A consenter that bears his name is sanctified, because God has separated us from the world to himself, and meet and competent to labor and to build the king's house. Even as Esther, okay, went through 12 months of purification to be presented before King Ahasuerus, we also go on through the purifications for the purpose of being presented to the king by the fruit as birthed within us for the mating and the increase of his kingdom. Well, we can go on more and more there, but let's go now to Galatians. I want to get to Galatians chapter 5 today, so let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 as you get your sacrifices ready. Now in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to see here, stand fast. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast. Now the word stand fast is mean don't remove your foot from the position of your confidence and mobility. Stay at the altar. The sacrifices of God remain within the curtains of the tabernacle. The sacrifices of God must remain within the restrictions of this covenant. Okay, your priesthood is only valid within the curtains or the perimeters of this covenant. If your function is outside the perimeters of this tabernacle or the perimeters of this covenant, then you'll be offering upon every high hill and on every green tree, which is offering sacrifices on the bell, or you can say saltless charity. Your saltless charity. Okay, saltless charity is that which is absent of the fire of God, which is, means this, there's no anointing in that knowledge. No anointing in a knowledge leaves the soul desolate and naked. Okay, as we see in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter and chapter 3, it brings it out unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans. Okay, regarding that which is wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, naked. Okay, let's go on here. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. Or made us free, which has to do with the unleavened faith. Okay, not leavened faith, but unleavened faith. Unleavened faith is absent of Adam's aspiration, but leavened faith includes Adam's aspirations, which is false faith. False faith also means a false hope. A false hope is established upon the premises that something that was promised will be achieved. It's always out of reach of the reality. That's substitution. Okay, whereas we partake of unleavened faith, it has to do with that. That which we're presently partaking of will lead us and bring us into the promise. See, so we're experiencing a reality of the goal now. Okay, we're experiencing the reality of the goal now. That's propitiation. Our eternal life is sealed to us at this present time as we're partaking of the living Christ now. Okay, that which is the power of his resurrection. Stand fast. Don't remove your foot from the position of your confidence, that you may be mobilized in this new covenant. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again. Okay? And don't wander in derision by mixing any of this knowledge of this covenant with the knowledge of that first covenant, the doctrine of Nicolaitans. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what he calls it, the yoke of bondage. Okay, the yoke of bondage. Don't be carrying of those things which are faithless tokens to labor with. The faithless tokens carry with it derision, a defiled conscience. And when it carries the derision, the defiled conscience, you're also a criminal to his righteousness. A criminal to his righteousness. Being a criminal to his righteousness, you're guilty before the judge, which means you bear Satan's face. And you don't want that. To bear Satan's face is the face of death. Behold, I, Paul, as a steward of this house and of this covenant, even as Moses was a steward of the house and of that covenant, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, Galatians there, that if you be circumcised and observe that of that first covenant, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now remember, he's talking to Christians in Galatia that were under his stewardship. And those which are under his stewardship, began to depart from him. And many departed from Paul and embraced substitution. In other words, they were Judaized. Christians were Judaized instead of Jews being Christianized. Many Christians were Judaized, and this is what we see on Facebook today. Those which are under the law, claiming themselves to be Christians, are trying to Judaize Christians, okay, bringing them under the yoke of that first covenant, observing the Sabbath day, performing tithing, okay, the rituals of circumcision, to even bring you under dietary laws and their own cleansing laws. You don't want to follow that, because that's not the cleansing of the Spirit. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, Galatians there, that if you be circumcised and observe that of that first covenant, Christ shall profit you nothing. We see the word profit again. There's no advancement, no enlargement of the heart, because the anointing enlarges the heart. The law brings the yoke of guilt. The law brings the yoke of guilt. The law is an accusatory token. The law was given for the purpose of magnifying the condition of the defiled conscience, not purging it. Christ was going to do that. And when Jesus came, he removed the accuser of the brethren was now put into subjection, okay, by the power of the anointing, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against this covenant. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again, my stewardship is the gauge. Now, I talked about that earlier. The stewardship is the gauge. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. I mean, you can't pick and choose what you want in order to please God. We only please God by the gifts of his propitiation, which he's provided for us. Okay, for the Father, because Jesus Christ is the advocate of the Father. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. See the word justified? When you're justified by the law, which means you're saying that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't sufficient. Hey, so Christ has become no effect unto you. I mean, no results will come forth. There's no regeneration in the soul. There's no results. In other words, false grace equals dead works, dead fruit. Okay, false grace equals dead faith, dead works, dead fruit. Whosoever you are justified by the law. Say, even though you profess Jesus as your Lord, but you're possessing Jesus as Lord with leavened knowledge. There's no oil within it, and it's lacking all the ingredients. These are those which have fallen away. And we are now in the place of the great falling away, which was spoken about. And you are fallen from grace. See the word fallen? That's broken from the vine. Okay? Those that embrace the law are broken from the vine. They are not the fruit of Christ. And that which they bore upon them is now shriveled up and fallen away. Just like the changing seasons, the colors of the leaf from green turn from the foliage in the trees are turning from green now to yellow and red. And then they fall off from the tree and they dry up and they turn brown. And when they turn brown, okay, they're crispy. Okay, they just crumble in your hand. The leaf crumbles in your hand. They are fallen from grace. They're broken from the vine. So the knowledge that they are claiming to be Jesus as Lord is dead, as that of dead grace. The witness of the anointing will be absent, okay, as you've been in Christ's priesthood. Okay, as you get your sacrifices ready here, we'll cut off here in a moment here. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I talked about that earlier. Okay, the tokens which we have received now will bring us into the reality. We're receiving tokens now to bring us into the reality of the third covenant, the baptism of light. Because we through the Spirit, which is that anointing now provided for us, we labor with the invisible tokens. And we labor with the invisible tokens with patience, the patience of faith. We continue to look forward to Jesus coming to reward our faith, now and then. Because we are partaking of these tokens of his propitiation, tokens of reward. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This is the blessedness and the sign of our worthiness. The blessedness and sign of our worthiness. This is the crown which we have received. So those which put on the crown behold the face of God. Okay, those that remove the crown, those who don't have the crown, are not beholding the face of God. Okay, these are the children of Cain. These are the Cain Christians. We have the Cain Christians. We have the Abel Christians. We have the sand Christians, and we have the rock Christians. The sand Christians Okay, and the Cain Christians, okay, are those which commit murder. Okay, because they want to establish the authority of the principle and the aspiration through substitution. Let's read this last verse here, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, which is, has to do with in the new covenant house, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, the physical, neither nor uncircumcision, the Jew or Gentile. There is no gender identification, and there's no race identification. Okay, but it's only spirit identification. We identify each other as brother or sister by the spirit, okay, not by the flesh. Okay, even though we be all children of Adam, okay, yet we're not identifying with that which is of Adam of the flesh. We're identifying only that, okay, which is a spirit, the second Adam, the adoption of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. That is unleavened faith, pure faith, perfect faith, but faith which works by love. So highlight the word faith and love there. Okay, this is that what the faith which empowers this charity, which is given. This is a new sign. Okay, and by this new sign, we learn the fear of God, the true fear of the Lord. By this sign, we learn the true fear of the Lord because of his mercy, which is granted to us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him with out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.